earlier today after I heard about the baby. I said, congratulations on the baby. Now the real fun begins, you know, the sleepless nights and all that fun stuff. So I know they're excited, though. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read just a few verses. And I know that this is a very familiar passage, and we've all probably heard messages on this before. But I know that even familiar passages are good just to bring up reminders that sometimes we can forget or sometimes we needed to be reminded of. Hebrews chapter number 12, in verse number 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much again for tonight, God. I pray that you'd help us now as we dive into your word, God. I pray that as we look at this subject, God, of running the race and running the race that you've given us, God, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful. God, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to you, God. And I pray that you'd help us to all, like your Apostle Paul, God, finish our course with joy, God. And I just pray that as we go through this familiar passage, God, we'd be reminded of a few things and that we'd leave this place even helped, Lord. God, I pray that you, again, be with the Haynes family, be with the Lees right now. And I just, again, God, I thank you so much for a new life, God. I just pray that you continue to be that family, Lord. We love you. In your name I pray, amen. I believe the Apostle Paul was a sports fan. You don't even really think about that as Paul, but if you read through any books of the Bible that Paul wrote, most of them have some kind of sports analogy, right? So you know he was like your typical guy. He always, and it was either had to do with racing. There's lots of racing. There's wrestling in there. Do you know that? He thought we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He talks about boxing. I thought that was pretty cool, right? He brings up boxing. There's a few. He brings up sports a lot, and he uses them as analogies a lot of times. I'm not a big sports guy, okay? You can ask my family. My sister used to always beat me at basketball. That's okay. My older sister, not my younger sister, okay? That'd be embarrassing. But I'm not your sports guy. You know, I like to watch some sports. I like to watch especially baseball. Let's cross our fingers for the Giants, right, guys? Finally, some Giants shout-out from the pulpit, right? Okay? You know, but Paul loved to use the analogy of sports. Why? Because I think two reasons. Number one, it was relatable. It was very relatable to the people that he was talking to. Why? Because around that time, they're very familiar with sports, especially the sports that he related things to, especially like the Olympic Games were going on, could be going on around this time, that people were familiar, and it was just a good analogy to connect with people. So he used it because of something that was familiar, but also a lot of times the analogy he used, they're a beautiful picture of the Christian life. And it's no different than what he does right here in Hebrews chapter 12. He says in verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And here's the analogy. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience. And here the Apostle Paul is encouraging these believers to run their race that God has set before them. Okay, their individual race, and to run it faithfully. And he says, and to run it patiently. And we're going to just kind of dive in and see these truths that the writer is trying to portray to these people that he's writing to. So first of all, we'll see the nature of the race. The nature of the race. First of all, we just see that it is a race. You know, from the point of our salvation, we are in a race. And God puts us in a race. All right? And it is a race. And I love the way the writer says it. He says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay? Run the race patiently that God has given to you, all right? God has given me a different race than he's given to Michael. You know, God has given me a different race than he's given Corey. You know, we're all running, and we're running hopefully faithfully in this race, but we've all been given a different race. It's so easy to sometimes compare ourselves and our lives with other people. You know, Paul warned about that in 2 Corinthians 10:12, where he said this, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." It's not wise for us to look at somebody else's life and say, "Man, God, they seem to have it so easy." Or, "God, you just gave them the right family," or, "You gave them this or that." Okay, but God has set a race before you for you to run patiently and for you to run faithfully. Okay, Peter made this mistake at the very end of the book of John. If you remember, Jesus a few times said, "Feed my sheep." Do you guys remember that story at the very end of the book of John? At one point, Jesus tells Peter, basically, "This is how you're going to die." And then Peter looks to Jesus, and this is what he says. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" And he's talking about John. "Okay, Jesus, you just told me that I'm going to die. But what about this guy? What about John? What are you going to do to him?" And this is what Jesus said. "Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." He says, you know what? Others have a different race in their life. It doesn't matter what their race looks like. You follow me. You run your race. You continue to do what you need to do. So we see first the nature of the race is that it is a race and that God has all put us on a race and he's given us an individual a race that he's given to us. But see, the second thing we see about the nature of the race is that it takes patience. Okay, you can see, and it says in this, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That word patience there, I don't think it has to do with like I'm being patient. When there's small noises, I think I've talked about this before. My junior hires know this. Anybody my junior hires in here? Where are you guys? What's the noise that drives me crazy in class? Clicking pens, you know, it drives me crazy. And they love to do it, okay? I just gave them ammunition, okay? but that's not my favorite noise, you know? And I try to be patient, but sometimes I usually grab it and take it, or I grab it and throw it. Either one of the two, okay? But it's not I don't think the word patient that he's using here is that kind of patient. Like, I'm just trying to be patient with this annoying noise. It's not that kind of patience. But the word patience here means endurance. It means to keep on going. It takes endurance. The word, as some of you guys can kind of relate to this, the word race in this passage, if you look up the Greek, it's the word agon, okay, in which we get the word agony or agonize. You guys, okay, if you've ever been running, you're like, "Man, this is absolute agony," okay? But that's the word. That's the Greek word of what it means. It literally means conflict or some kind of struggle. And that's, again, that's the picture that Paul is trying to paint here. You know, races requires endurance. You think of a marathon runner, a 10K, you know, 26.2 miles. That is crazy. You know, could you imagine running for 6 straight hours? You know, I know that's a time, but that's crazy. You know, it takes endurance. Sometimes I've never done a marathon, but I've read about a marathon. You know, runners a lot of times, anybody ever done a marathon in here? That's awesome. I don't know if this is true because I've never done it, but runners sometimes talk about the 20-mile wall. And they said once you hit that 20th mile, it's just like everything just kind of stops and everything just kind of hurts after that. I think everything would just kind of hurt with me after the second mile. But, you know, they talk about that. But it takes endurance to push through that and to finish. One of the craziest things I've ever read about is the Ironman triathlon. Have you guys ever heard that? That is insane. And that takes some endurance. Listen to these stats, okay? If you don't know about it, an Ironman triathlon is you start off with a 2.4-mile swim, okay, which right there you would just have me, okay? 2.4-mile swim. Then this is back to back to back, 112-mile bike ride. And then you end it with a 26.2-mile run, a marathon. You end it with that. They put the swim first so that you're not dead tired at the very end and drowned, okay? But that's why they do that. Listen to this. They put a time limit on the Ironman triathlon. You have to finish it in 17 hours. Huh. Okay. 17 hours. If you know, I go to Disneyland, I walk around for like 8 hours. I walk around for 8 hours and I'm dead tired by the end of the day. Could you imagine? Oh, that takes some endurance. The world record for the Ironman competition, again, 17 hours is like the farthest you can go. After you pass 17 hours, you can't finish. But the world record is 8.3 hours. Isn't that crazy? Man, good on you, you know? It's just like, that is awesome. The Christian life here is not compared to a leisurely walk in the park, right? It's not compared to just some stroll along the ocean, okay? What is it compared to? It's compared to a race, okay? Okay, and again, the picture that he's trying to paint is a conflict. It's a struggle. It's going to take some endurance on our part. Okay? It takes effort. Sometimes it takes planning. It takes discipline. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But could you imagine some guy waking up in the morning and saying, hey, I'm going to go run a marathon? You know, that doesn't happen. You know, I mean, I guess he could say that and try it, but he's not going to end and he's not going to finish. The word, again, race has that word agon. Again, it has to do with conflict, but it's a little bit more to it than just that. It also has to do with the joy that's at the end of the conflict. You know, have you ever like finished something that was super, really hard and it just took a lot of time? It took a lot of even endurance. And at the end, you're just like, I can't believe I did that. You know, I can't believe that I finished that, or I can't believe I ran that, or I did that. There's joy at the end of that. Anybody who runs the Ironman competition and finishes before that 17-hour time limit, anybody who does that, they get to call themselves an Ironman, which is pretty cool. You know, if anyone who finishes it within that time limit, there's joy just for completing it. You know, that guy that ran it in the 8.3, I'm sure he was excited, but I'm sure anyone who finishes that is excited. And that's what comes along with that. Not only this conflict, but also this joy that comes out at the end of it. Okay? What happens, and think about this, in your race, okay, what happens when conflict or struggle occurs in our race? Does it hinder our faith? Or are we running, are we racing patiently? Are we racing with endurance? The first time a struggle or a conflict comes, is it, oh, and I'm out, and I'm down for the count? Or am I continuing to race patiently and enduringly? So we saw, first of all, the nature of the race, that it is our race, okay? And that it does take patience, it does take endurance. But then we see, number two, the hindrances to the race, the hindrances to the race. And if you look in verse number one again, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, here they are. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. The first hindrances to the race that the writer brings up here, this idea of weights. The Greeks, if you know anything about Greek culture, the Greeks were experts on the human body, right? And we just got done with Greek culture in my world history class, and they loved, that's why they started the Olympics, is because they loved just showing different feats of human, that humans could accomplish. Okay? They were very much so experts of the human body. They knew when a racer was out of shape. And what they would do when they would get ready for a race is they would get rid of any kind of excess weight. So you think about training and the exercise that goes into this, especially during those times, because they were representing, men, their city. Right? They were representing their people, and that was a proud moment for them. So they trained, and they got rid of any kind of weight that they could. And they got rid of any excess clothing. You know, if you ever watch the Olympics, it's not like they're wearing parkas. You know, they're not doing that. They're wearing very little. Why? Because they don't want anything to restrict them. Okay? The Bible brings up, let us lay aside these weights. Okay, these weights, what that he's talking about, is not necessarily something sinful, okay, but it's definitely not something that is helpful in our lives. You know, Jacob, can you come here? Jacob Burkholder. I'm going to do something with. Jacob, you run, right? What, you run cross country, right? You know how I know that? I just know everything, okay? That's how. Jacob runs cross country, okay? And I think that's pretty awesome. You know, good for you. What's the longest you've ever run? Do you know? You don't know? No. Do you like running?
Yeah.
Cool. He likes running. He doesn't know how long, but he likes to run. Okay. How many, anybody in here, like a teenager, do you like hate to run? Anybody hate to run? Let's see. Yeah, Will, come on in up here. Okay. All right. If I were to put these guys up into a race, okay, Willie, do you like to run?
No.
You like, this is my favorite thing to do? No? Okay. All right. So Willie does not like to run. He does. He like made a choice to do cross country. Did anybody force you into that? No? Okay. So he made a choice to run, you know? And that's good. All right. So if I put these guys in a race, right? I'm not going to make you guys race because that'd be crazy, okay? But if I put these guys in a race, because this guy's been training, right? And this guy's, I'm not saying anything bad about you, Willie, okay? But this guy's been training and he does this day after day after day after day. He runs. Okay? And if I were to set them off on a race, chances are, you know, if we were betting, we would probably choose this guy, right? We would probably choose the guy that's been training and that can run, okay? But if I took this backpack and I put it on Jacob, you ready? You can put that on. It's real heavy, okay? If I put that on him, stand up, it's not heavy, okay? If I put that on him, he'd be like, okay, that's not that bad, okay? Maybe it's a little restricting, but it's not going to hinder him too much. But then if I started to take some weights, okay, And I started adding these things to Jacob's backpack. Okay? And these are things, again, the Bible's talking about. They're not necessarily anything sinful, but they're things that just hold us back. They're things that weigh us down. There's 30 pounds in here now, bud. Okay? If I were to put these things in here, all right, zip them up. No, I'm not going to zip it up. Okay? If I were to do that, okay, now, if I were to say, okay, let's place bets. Who would you place bets on? Probably not this guy. He's got 30 pounds of weights in his back. Now, I know people do the weighted thing to, like, train stuff, but if you're in an actual race, that would be foolish, right? That would be silly to do. And that's what Paul is bringing up here. He says, we're in a race. And sometimes in our race, the actual official race, this is what we're doing. We're putting stuff in our lives, and we're putting stuff that aren't necessarily sinful. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. They're not necessarily sinful, but they're definitely not helpful in our Christian life. If we saw a runner like that, you'd think, like, either this guy is like has never done this before and he's really new at this, or you think, like, man, that guy's bragging. He thinks he's going to show everybody up by doing that. But you wouldn't place your money on that guy. I know I keep bringing up betting, so don't tell Pastor, okay? But again, these are not necessarily sinful, but they're not helpful. Okay, what in your life is holding you back or hindering you from reaching your full potential for God? Maybe it's just something that's distracting you. It's just taking a little bit too much time out of your day. Or maybe it's something that's holding you back from the things of God, and it's starting to become a sinful practice, whatever it is. Okay, again, think about the Greeks, and again, the training that they must have gone into. And think about, we just had the Olympics here last summer. Think about the training that went into what those guys did. Again, they stripped away anything they could have so that they could win. You know, think about the discipline of an athlete. There is training involved in our race as well. There's stuff that we need to put into so that we can get out. You know, with the spiritual disciplines of Bible reading, of prayer, of church attendance, of giving, of witnessing. These are things that we need to add into our lives so that that's how we train, and that's how we spiritually discipline ourselves through Bible reading, through prayer, and to grow in our walk with God. And as we do that, we become more disciplined. We train ourselves to become a better racer. So lay aside those weights and add those things that you're supposed to be adding. I do like to run. I try to do it. I'm not joking around. I really am. I try to run, and I can always tell, you know, the night before if I ate too big of a meal or something. You know, it's just, it weighs you down. It bogs you down, you know, and that's what he's trying to describe here. Don't do that. Don't put away those things and try to add into your life the things that you need to. So he starts off with the hindrances to the race. The first one is the idea of weights, those things that we're adding to our lives that are hindering us. But then he brings up not only the weight, but does say the sin which does so easily beset us. There is a sin, he says, that besets us. It could be weights, but it could also be sin. This could be talking of personal sin, something that's in your life, whether that be jealousy or gossip or contention or anger or bitterness or covetousness. It could be something along those lines that's holding you back from running your race patiently with endurance. But most likely what he's talking about, he says this. Look at how he words it. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, most of us would lay aside the sins that easily beset us. You know, there's multiple things that probably we struggle with. But here he's saying the sin which does so easily beset us. There's kind of, if you read through the book of Hebrews, there's a reoccurring theme. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 3 with me, the writer talks about this sin. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12, it says this. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of, what's the word? Unbelief, in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Look again what he says in verse 12. Take heed, therefore, lest there be any of you in an evil heart and unbelief, in departing from the living God. Here he said, the writer, again, that the whole idea of unbelief comes up a few times throughout the book of Hebrews. And I believe that here in Hebrews chapter 12, they're referring to that, okay? This whole idea of unbelief. The sin that easily besets us is an unbelief in what God can do. It's an unbelief that God is enough. It's an unbelief that eventually will lead us to depart from our race. And because we don't believe that God is true or that he can provide or that he can do these things that he's told us he can do, when we don't believe that, we, like the writer said, we tend to depart from God. Now, the question here is, what's holding us back? You know, if there's something in your life, is there something that you've been adding to your life that's a weight and it's just holding you back from, again, reaching your full potential for God, whatever that is? And again, not necessarily something sinful. Is there something in your life you're adding to it? Or is there a sin? Is there something in your life, whether, again, that's that list of sins I talked about, or if it's this whole idea of unbelief? I don't know if God can do this, or I don't know if God can come through here. If that's coming into your life, then it's easy. It's going to, you're going to tend to depart from your race, from the faith, and you're not going to run patiently or with an endurance. Okay, so first of all, again, we saw the nature of the race. Second, we saw the hindrance to the race. And then third, we see the inspiration for the race. The inspiration for the race. I need to slow down. I'm just kidding. 6:35, okay? We'll get at it. I'm just kidding. But the last part is the inspiration for the races. If you read about Greek culture in the old Olympics, okay, what they used to do is as racers would get on their marks and then they'd run their lanes. Yeah, at the very end would be the judges. Well, first of all, they have to be there to determine who won. But they would also be down there with the prizes, okay? And, you know, sometimes you do with it, if you're ever in children's ministry or anything, it's a good thing. I always put, like, the quiet seat prize, like, front and center, right? Because, hey, they know what's coming if you are good, you know, if you're quiet. And that's kind of what they were doing here. They put those prizes out before them to motivate these runners, to get them going. And that's what they would do. And there was an inspiration. That was their inspiration for running. Here, we see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, there's a few inspirations for us. The first one is those that have gone on before us. Look at again, if you've turned over back to Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." That word witnesses in this context means those that have already experienced their race. And this is a direct link to Hebrews chapter 11. And if you've ever read the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, anybody remember the nickname or what it's called? The Hall of Faith, right? If you read through Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about by faith this person did that. By faith this person did that. And on, it talks about Abraham. It talks about Jacob. It talks about, again, the patriarchs. It even brings up Samson in the Hall of Faith. It's pretty awesome, but it is called the Hall of Faith. And this idea of wherefore seeing we also comes about with so great a cloud of witnesses is a direct link back to Hebrews chapter 11. And what does that mean? Okay, how can that be inspiration for our race, hearing about the things that these guys did? Well, it wasn't necessarily these guys that did those great things. Okay? Knowing what others have gone through and what they've been able to go through their life with faith, so can we. You know, when you're reading through the lives of these people, Abraham, who God called out, right, and God provided for him and he led him every step of the way, we see that we can trust God just for guidance in our lives. You know, when it brings up Moses, and that's the one where there's the verse where it says that Moses chose to suffer affliction. Do you remember that? And we can see that, hey, God provides and God protects even during affliction in our lives. They bring up Joshua, and they bring down the falling of the wall of Jericho, which is one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. But we see that we can have a faith in a God that can do the impossible. Okay, so what's the inspiration for our race? Those that have gone before, well, God did all these things in their lives, whether that be leading them or providing for them or protecting them or doing these awesome things through them. He can do the same thing in our lives. If we have a need, God can provide. If there's something in our lives that we don't understand, we can understand that, hey, God is in control. Their testimonies give us faith in God's power. And that is one of the inspirations for our races. Those that have gone before, that have been able to live their lives. You think about even people maybe that you've known even in your own lives that ran their race of faith and they ran it patiently. They ran it with endurance and they ended their lives in their race still. And you think about all that God did in their life. Think about those that have already run their race. Okay? It should be an inspiration to you. But also, there's another inspiration. And it's found in verse number 2. It says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Okay, the second thing is we can look to Jesus. That's an inspiration for our race. Runners would often, again, like I talked about earlier, they would often keep their eyes at the end of the race where the judge was with the prize. Could you imagine, you know, running as fast as you can and the judge holding that prize out? Now, it's so easy to look beside and see how the other runners are doing. Are you winning? They could have done that. But instead of doing that, they're supposed to keep their eyes on that judge and on the prize. Paul brings this up. And again, he's using this whole analogy of the race. Paul spoke of this in Philippians 3:14, where he says this, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What was that prize? Well, he was using the analogy of that prize at the end of our race. But here, he's talking about he's keeping his eyes and he's focused on Christ. Not only are we to look to Christ as our prize, but also as our example. It goes on, it says, looking unto Jesus, he says, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Not only can we see Christ as our prize, but we can see him as our example. He ran his race. You know, he had a race here on this earth too, and he ran it. He endured the cross. And Christ endured the cross, and he did that with patience. Okay, Philippians 4:13, Paul says this, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," because he endured, he can now give us the strength that we need to endure, to go through our race. Okay, so we see a couple inspirations. Number one, again, was the idea of others that have gone before us. The second was just looking to Jesus. And the third one is our reward. You know, there is a reward for finishing your life and finishing your race of faith faithfully. Okay, what is our reward in the end? Well, there's really a few rewards, but two of them are heaven, and we get to be in the presence of Christ. I love this verse, Philippians 1:23. Paul says this. He says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Isn't that awesome? Paul's saying, "There's this. I'm in this strait, and I want to be with you guys because I know it's beneficial to you guys, and I want to be with Christ, which is far better. It's better to be with Jesus than to be with you guys," he's saying. But in the end, that's what Paul got, and that's what Paul was looking forward to the most. I just want to be with Christ, and in the end, that is our final reward. Okay, and one of the greatest things, and I love this verse, and I'm sure most of us are familiar with it, 2 Timothy 4:7, it says that Paul did finish his race. He said this, "I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith." Paul finished the race that God had given him, and he finished it with patience and with endurance. So in conclusion, how is your race going? Okay, are you running patiently? Are you running with endurance until the end? You know, again, at the very beginning, we talked about how God said, or the writer said, that let us run the race that is set before us. You know, God's given you a race. It's a specific race to you, to your life, to fulfill whatever that purpose is that he's given you for your life. And let us run. Don't compare ourselves like we saw Peter. Don't do that. Are we running the race with endurance until the end? Are we getting distracted? Are we getting weighed down? It's so easy to get distracted with the things of this world and just to get, like we saw, those weights just added onto us. It's so easy to do that. And are we laying aside those weights and that sin which does so easily beset us? We need to trust in God for our race and trust in his plan, for then we can finish our course and we can finish it with joy. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. If we could all stand together actually as we pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, again, I thank you so much for this evening, God. I thank you for the truths, God, in your word. God, I know that so many people can relate to the fact that, God, the Christian life, it can be a conflict and it can be a struggle, God. And you, the writer of the book of Hebrews, even recognized that and he taught us about that. But God, I know that the Christian life does take patience. It does take endurance. I pray that you'd all help all of us in this room, God, to finish the course that you've given to us. Finish our race with patience, God. Help us to finish it. And at the end, so that we can hear your son say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, I don't know if God's done anything in your heart this evening, or if you just need to say, "God, there's some weights, there's some sins that I've been allowing in my life." But as the piano plays, if you want to take a moment with God, even right there in your seat,